Well, hey, friends, good morning. It is such an honor and a privilege to spend Sunday morning with you. If we haven't met yet, my name is Grant. I help run our student ministry here at Keystone. I spend a lot of time with our middle schoolers and our high schoolers, but I'm super privileged to come in and help facilitate a Sunday morning discussion, one that exists outside of our typical series, a standalone, one that I'm calling Why We Remember. You know, this weekend, we get the opportunity to observe Memorial Day. But if I'm being honest with you, Memorial Day is one of the hardest days of the year for me. Hands down, one of the hardest days of the year for me. You know, we're all called to remember those who gave their life in service to this country. But for some of us, Memorial Day is also a reminder that we weren't good enough to bring everyone home. It's an annual monument to some of our life's greatest failures and shortcomings. And for one day, that pain is so real again. Now, I don't want you to think that I dislike Memorial Day. That's not the case at all. I actually need it. I need that pain. I need to remember. But I need other people to remember as well. Because if there's one thing that I found to be true about Memorial Day, it's that when we forget what something cost, we take for granted what we gained. If we forget the price that some paid, we take for granted the freedoms, rights, and liberties that we have and are supposed to have. This equation of forgetting the cost of something and taking something else for granted, that's not unique to just Memorial Day. In fact, many of us as Jesus followers are familiar with that equation, especially regarding the cross, right? If we forget the price that was paid, we take for granted the fact that we get to live free from sin. That we get to live a life fulfilled, that we get to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here and now and exist there forever. And friends, we forget all the time. As people, we forget all the time. We need to establish regular reminders. The only way to not forget is to establish regular reminders. Things like annual reminders. And as it turns out, establishing annual reminders of events is an ancient human tradition. Apparently, thousands of years ago, we realized just how forgetful we are, so we established yearly scheduled reminders so that we could remember what we have. What's interesting is that Memorial Day isn't the only significant annual reminder that we get to observe this weekend. Because as some of you surely know, today is also referred to as Pentecost Sunday. The day that 50 days after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, the day that the Holy Spirit came down and dwelled among mankind forever. And with the rest of our short time together today, it's my hope that we can uncover some of the mysteries of Pentecost and find some way to apply the knowledge of that event to our day-to-day lives. Friends, to be honest, today's probably not going to look like a traditional Sunday here at Keystone. I'm probably not going to blow your mind with some new contextual understanding of Scripture. That's not my hope. My hope is that today stands as a day of remembrance. That today we put aside forgetting, we put aside our busyness, and just take time to remember a couple significant things. Ultimately, there's three things that I want us to accomplish today. First, I want us to develop an understanding of the importance of remembering. And we already started that, right? We know that if we forget what something cost, we take for granted the blessings that we get to experience and live in the day by day. Number two, I want us to discuss and develop an understanding of why Pentecost was historically and currently important and how we might apply that in a way that transforms our lives moving forward. And lastly, I want us to have the opportunity to engage in a practice of remembrance as we get the opportunity to participate in communion together and remembering the ultimate price that was paid. But first, I want to talk about the historical importance of Pentecost. Pentecost, or rather known as the Feast of Weeks, was one of several ancient feasts that God commanded ancient Israel to observe. Each of these feasts stood as an annual reminder of the ways that God had performed and been with the ancient nation of Israel in their past. But it was also a reminder of the ways that he would fulfill his promises in the future. Now, the instructions for each one of these feasts can be found in the book of Leviticus. Let's start by checking out God's instructions regarding how to observe Pentecost. We read in Leviticus that, "And from the day after the Sabbath, from the day on which you bring the sheaf of the elevation offering, you shall count off 7 weeks. They shall be complete. You shall count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days, Penta. Then you shall present an offering of new grain to the Lord." As these instructions continue, we read about all the other offerings that each settlement is to bring as an offering during Pentecost. Those offerings include the grain offering, 7 young lambs, 1 young bull, 2 rams, a drink offering, 1 male goat as a sin offering, and 2 more male lambs as a sacrifice of well-being. This was the offering list for each settlement. And if you're thinking, that seems like a lot of stuff, it is. And that's the point. You see, Pentecost occurred at the end of the barley and wheat harvest. So traditionally, it was a time of great abundance in the land. And it was incredibly important that the people of ancient Israel remembered where that abundance came from, so that they maintained reliant on God and not reliant on themselves. But that's not where God's instructions regarding Pentecost ended. He actually concludes the instructions on how to observe Pentecost this way. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the alien." You see, Pentecost wasn't just about acknowledgement where abundance and blessings came from. It also stood as a structured way in which people would look out for the vulnerable, for the oppressed, for the foreigner. It seems like Pentecost was the perfect annual way to recall how a vertical relationship should intersect with a horizontal relationship. Yes, they were called to acknowledge where their abundance came from, but they were also called to spread that laterally among their fellow person. It seems like having a functional relationship with God required functional relationships with our neighbor, especially those who were overlooked, who were vulnerable, who were poor. Having the intersection of this vertical and horizontal relationship was one of the hearts of the message surrounding Pentecost in ancient times. And I share this graphic with you because if we observe this again in the next covenant, we know that it becomes all the more important. And I'm telling you, friends, that first Pentecost after the death and resurrection of Jesus would change everything forever. After his resurrection, Jesus spends several weeks with his disciples, teaching them and reminding them of things. And then he gives them some unique instructions. And we get the chance to read about those continued instructions as Luke recorded them in the book of Acts, where we read, "Jesus, while staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. So at this point, the disciples understand their mission. They have their marching orders. They know that they are to spread the gospel throughout the world to Jews and Gentiles alike. But before they do, Jesus tells them, hey, you need to wait. Wait? Jesus, why wait? What you're about to go try and do, you can't do alone. It seems like Jesus is telling them, what you are going to try to accomplish, you cannot do by your own volition and power yourself. You need help. But there's good news. Help is on its way. Jesus continues to describe what that help looks like. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And at hearing this, the disciples may have been a little confused. You see, they were familiar with some stories about God's Spirit empowering people. They were familiar with stories like Samson and Saul, Joshua, David, and Elijah. They were familiar with stories of God's Spirit empowering people to tear a lion in half and kill a giant man with a stone. But that didn't seem like the same kind of Spirit that Jesus had talked about during his ministry with them. Check out how John records Jesus talking about the Spirit. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. A teacher and a reminder, that doesn't seem compatible with the power that they were now imagining about God's Spirit dwelling on them. Needless to say, friends, the disciples and the rest of the world could never have prepared themselves for what this next Pentecost would have looked like. But it would change the world forever. We continue reading about that event later in Acts. As we continue reading that when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now, two things that are important to point out here. First, Luke is being a little bit clever by saying violent wind. Although he's writing in Greek, a Jewish audience would know that in the Hebrew language, the word for wind and the word for spirit are the same word. And they're often used as a metaphor to help people understand how the other works. Second, Pentecost was one of three pilgrimage feasts. So in the ancient days, that would have meant all the various settlements within the land would bring their offerings to Jerusalem in order to observe Pentecost. But by the time of Jesus, there was a much greater dispersion of Jewish people throughout the entire Mediterranean region. That means during this pilgrimage moment, Jerusalem would have been filled with Jewish people from all over the world. People who spoke different languages, people who had different cultural backgrounds. If they were second and third generation, they might have even looked a little different. Jerusalem at this time would have been filled with a diverse group of people with a diverse cultural background and diverse language. All right, so let's go back to our story. After the violent wind filled the house, we continue reading that divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Friends, once again, we get the opportunity to realize that this specific encounter was directly responsible for 3,000 new believers that day. 3,000 people became followers of the way as a result of this event and the witness that was borne by the disciples. Once again, we need to realize that Pentecost seems to be the perfect interaction between a vertical and a horizontal relationship. These disciples are given an incredible gift, but not for their own accord, not for their own sake, not to become legends of old like they were familiar with, but so that they could bear witness and love the people that they were encountering. Once again, it was an opportunity to recognize that the abundance, the gifts, the blessings that we are given were not given to us to be kept to ourselves, but to be spread laterally, to be given to our neighbor, especially those who are vulnerable, who are curious, who are oppressed, who are in need. Pentecost seems to exist as a permanent reminder that what we have is not just ours, but can be used as a means to increase the kingdom of heaven on earth here and now. You know, we have this saying here at Keystone that we bring up regularly. And we say, you know, Christianity is not a self-help movement. Being a Jesus follower is not a self-help movement. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't make us better as people or more moral or more righteous, but that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is transformation, that each of us is taking part in loving other people with such ferocity that there is no question who we follow. This is about transformation, where we all partake in bringing the kingdom of heaven to here and now by showing a love that is unmatched by the rest of the world. But honestly, friends, time and time again, we fall out of tune with the Spirit. We stop listening to the suggestions of love given to us from the Holy Spirit. So how do we get back in tune? Well, there's this beautiful moment where Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And it's in this moment we read that Jesus intentionally compares wind to the Spirit. And in some ways we can see that that is designed to help us understand the Spirit. Right? The wind is something that you can't see, but you can recognize because you feel it. But if we are being honest, we don't pay much attention to the wind. We might acknowledge it and then go on accomplishing whatever various daily tasks that we need to accomplish. The truth is, though, we do that same thing with the Spirit. We hear a slight nudge or a slight suggestion of love, and we put our personal tasks as a priority in front of suggestions of love. And eventually, we stop giving it any recognition at all. But friends, today is a day of remembrance. Today is a reminder. So let me ask you, where do you need to make intentional room to listen? Where do you need to make intentional room to listen? What reminder do you need to personally establish to take some time in your day to remove all distractions and just listen? To try to notice if the wind, if the Spirit is blowing and pushing you in a certain direction or towards a certain somebody. I mean, for so many of us, we knew that there was a text message or a phone call that we've needed to make for a while, but we haven't. And eventually we stopped worrying about it. Or maybe rather, there's somebody and an opportunity that we've needed to say yes to for a while, but we've just claimed that we're too busy. Or maybe there's someone else that we need to say no more to, but we're scared of losing them. Or maybe there's a change that we know we've needed to make for a long time, and it's time that we accept that we can't do it ourselves, that we need help. Friends, we will continue down the same path unless we stop forgetting, unless we take time to intentionally stop, remove all distractions, and just listen. To listen to the suggestions of the Spirit, to feel the wind and recognize where or who it's pushing us towards. Friends, in just a moment, the band's going to come out and we're going to have an opportunity to take communion together. Just as a little housekeeping, you don't have to be a member here at Keystone to take communion with us, because we don't have members. We're not even like that. We just have friends who come as they are. There will be a gluten-free station to my left, your right, for those of you who are gluten-free. But I want us to have this opportunity to partake in an act of remembrance, remembering the price that was paid for us. During his last meal with his disciples, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took a cup and he raised it and he said, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Friends, how often do we forget that? How often do we forget the price that was paid for us? How often do we take for granted the blessings and gifts that we are given each day? How often do we forget to share those, to spread those laterally, especially to the vulnerable, the foreigner, the oppressed? Friends, today is a day of remembrance. And I've asked you to remember a lot of things because the price of forgetting is too great. So as we take communion today, I'd ask that you remember the price that was paid for you and take a moment to think about how you might make room to listen, to become in tune again with the Holy Spirit.
Promise I will.
Friends, I have asked you to remember a lot of things this weekend. But what if we established a habit of reminding each other too? And as we go out and remember, let me remind you that you don't have to do it alone. You have a helper. You have an advocate. You have a teacher. Make room to listen. Make room to become in tune once again and recognize there are so many gifts of today that we are called to spread to our neighbors. If today is a hard one for you, please know that we'll have a couple folks under the screen to my right, your left to talk, and I will also be here for anyone who just needs somebody to listen, somebody to pray with. But for everyone else in the room, I'd be so honored if I could close our time together by having you stand and close our time together in prayer. Hey God, thank you so much for every single beautiful and amazing and wonderfully made person among us. Thank you so much for the reminders that we have of how we can live a fulfilled life, a Christ-like life. And thank you for not leaving us alone to do so, but for sending your Spirit to guide, to teach, to suggest, to push us towards deeds of love. Let us share in our abundance and blessings of the day in such a way that no one will question who we follow. Let us remember, because the price of forgetting is too high. Bless our weeks, bless our weekends, and let us continue to remind one another of all that is important. It's in your matchless Son Jesus' name that we pray, and everybody said, amen. Peace and blessings, friends. Have a great weekend.